Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us the guidance, Father, that we need to open our hearts and minds to be receptive. Father, that He gives us knowledge and wisdom and leads us in to the part, Father, where we can understand the revelations, Father, that is given to us according to thy word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4. Went through 2 and 3 this morning. Now we're going to be in 4. We'll probably finish 4. And 5. Not sure about that, because we never know what the Spirit is going to do with us. But we ask Him to take over this study. All right. Now, verse 1, He says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That's kind of a warning in a way, because now He's here in verse 1, He's talking to those that are believers. And He's not wanting them to come short of their rest. And the only way for that is for them to fall away and become as the unbeliever. Now verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, you know, here, we're seeing some things that is leading us to understand that he is speaking mainly to the Jewish people. Because in the beginning of the gospel that was being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the ones that was rejecting, and not only rejecting what he was saying, but they were rejecting him also. Now, because you see, whatever we do, we must do in faith. Now, here in verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Those of us that are believers and walk as the children of Almighty God, that day will come when we will enter into his rest. As he said, as we were told. Now, he goes on here and he says, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. But you see, now here he's talking about something different. He's using the word if. If they shall enter into my rest. And actually, if we go back to chapter 3 and verse 11, we find that those that are not believers shall not enter into his rest. I go back to 3 and read it to you. Chapter 3 and verse 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They are those that are not believers. Now, 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And we know this from our study of Genesis and all, as we begin the study of the Bible. As we begin this study, going through the complete Bible, we read about that in Genesis. We know he created things in 6 days, and then the seventh day, he rests. He also hallowed that day, and he gave it unto his people, which during that time period was the Jewish people, as a day of rest, that they was to do nothing on that day. It was strictly a day of rest. and it was called the Sabbath day. They was to do no work, not even their animals was to do any work. Now, here in verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And we know all about that as we studied the four Gospels and all, and then came through the book of Acts, the setting up of the church and all, how that those would not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, things he was telling them. You see, they're not gonna get to enter into that rest. They're gonna spend their eternity in hell and eventually that lake of fire. And it was all because of unbelief. 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. In other words, when we hear his voice, we're not to close off our hearts and our minds and let our hearts get hardened against his voice and his word. 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? That's verse 8. Verse 9. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. You see, as we've come all this way, and as many times as we have heard him talking about rest, those that are to receive rest are his people. They are believers. The unbelievers, they're not going to get that rest and enter into it. 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now, this rest he's talking about, when are we going to receive it and enter into it? When we step out of this life and into eternal life. That's when we will receive our rest. Our work here, whatever it was that God called upon us to do, has been finished. And we have ceased from it. We're leaving this life and stepping into the next. That's where we will receive our rest. 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He's letting us know If you fall and you walk in unbelief, you're not going to be able to enter into that rest. Not his rest, no. 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a disconcerter of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, this word of God reaches places that a lot of mankind today is not thinking about at all, of receiving anything from the Lord God, because he's got his mindset on his own self. He's filled with pride and selfishness. Then we find it's not going to work. Because God's word reaches into the heart and the mind. And that is where the change has to take effect, is in the heart and the mind. And then, when that change is made, and we walk by and through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, we then can control this flesh. But without them, we can't control the flesh. It is going to want what it wants, but with God's help and the help of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God working through our heart and our mind, we can control even the flesh. Now, 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is nothing hid from God, not a thing that is hid. Everything, as the word calls it, are naked and open unto his eyes. You may hide some things from mankind for a little while, but you're not going to hide anything, not even a thought, from the Lord your God. Now, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, because we have him, and he is our high priest. He's the one that forgives our sins. He's the one in whom we put our trust. He's the one that we go through in order to reach the Father when we want to talk to him. And we are to hold on to that. Always. Don't ever turn it loose. Because if you do, you can be in serious trouble. Now, 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, he was tempted. And we're told he was tempted in every point like we are. Yet he was without sin. He didn't sin. He didn't give in to it. And neither can you and I as a child of God. We did before we became that. But once we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and once we accept him, and he comes into our life, he and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, you see, that changed everything. And then you and I are to walk without sin. Oh, Pastor, that just can't be done. But it can according to God's word. And we know that because I've read it to you several times. I'm not going to get into it right now because we got some things coming up about that a little later on down the road, not too far from now. Actually, not far enough that we should be forgetting really much of what we're studying now. Now, 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How do we go to the Lord our God? Boldly. That's the way we go to him. We go to him boldly. Talking with him and letting him know what is in our heart. Truthfully. Hiding nothing from him. And asking him for his grace and for his love and for his mercy. And once we will do that, then we'll find that grace to help in time of our need. But how long has it been since you really talked to him about your life, what you need, and what you would like to have? And ask him, Lord, what do you have for me to do? Here I am, Lord. Use me. Use me according to your will and your way. And let great things happen. Not to lift me up, Lord, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you can do that, in sincerity and honesty, honestly, you'll find that he's always there. And you can be surprised in what he will give you and do for you. We've come to the end now of chapter 4. Chapter 5, got 14 verses, just two less than this one. So let's go ahead and see where the Spirit will take us. Chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Only he didn't offer up other sacrifices like they did according to the law. He was our sacrifice. He took on his beatings, those stripes that brought you and I healing and death on the cross, taking all of our sins, sicknesses, and diseases to the cross with him so we would not have to carry them. Now, that sacrifice, far, far greater than what the high priest under the law was doing. Now, verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compressed with infirmity. Well, we know, you know, that he walked with all kinds of problems and things against his life also. Persecuted, rejected, cursed, mocked, spit on, beaten, and then crucified. And he told us if they would do it to him, they would persecute you and I. So don't think that just because he's called you to be a pastor or a minister of the gospel that you're not going to face some of the things, because you will. And we need to be praying for our churches, as we were talking about this morning, not only for godly people to be there in leadership, but that those pastors all be called by God to be pastors. Not something they just chose as a line of work, or as a career, as some would call it. But they've been called by God to be there. then he is working with them. We have 2 minutes today that are not there because of that. They're there because they didn't want to do manual labor and they wanted a good living with very little work. And I know what I'm talking about. Now, and by reasons hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. You see, I know you thought that when I was talking there about your pastor being called of God, there was something in my mind. No, as you just see here in his word, it's in his mind. Now, 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. You see, even Jesus, it wasn't what he had chose. The Father called him and sent him. Six. As he has said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, as we come through the older scripture, we're going to be dealing with Melchizedek, so I'm not going to go there right now. But Jesus is being made a priest after that same order, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Now listen to that. We know how he prayed in the garden, didn't we? He asked God if it was possible for him to take that cup away from him. And he prayed with such fervent grace and prayer that he sweat drops like blood. 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And, 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation to all that will obey him. 10. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. There again, we're reminded of that. 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Why would you be dull of hearing? In other words, slow. other words, it's also a warning here in this passage, described as being as lazy hearing and can result in your life and your lifetime of that life being of sluggishness. Think about that. Now, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the articles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink. In other words, you have not learned how to receive the instruction of the Holy Spirit yet as you study God's Word. And it makes you slow in understanding. But you don't quit. You keep going. You keep holding on with your faith, believing in what you learn, believing in Jesus, believing in the Father, believing in the Holy Spirit. And you will grow into where then you can be fed with meat instead of milk. You see, he goes on to tell us, verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. It doesn't mean he's lost, but he's a babe. He's got a lot to learn. 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And they can then receive the revelation from the Word of God that God intends for them to have so they can do the work that he calls upon them to do. You see, God's Word lets us know and have everything we need in order to make it through this life and to make heaven our home. But you need to be in his word every day and as much as you can possibly be and hold on to the things that you do learn. And I know, we all know that we don't retain everything. That's why we continually go over and over and over these things, so that we don't do things in our life that we should not be doing. And any decision you have to make, before you make that decision, take it to Almighty God and ask him what your decision should be. And he'll give you the answer. Because there is an answer in this word for every question. And God can lead you right there. I know what I'm talking about. Because you see, without the Holy Spirit, I couldn't do what I do. I'm not that smart. I have to have him in my life, guiding me, speaking to me so I can speak to you with the knowledge of Almighty God. It's not my knowledge. And those of you that follow me know that. Because as I tell you things, it's usually just a few verses later that you'll find out that what I have told you is in his word. I love the Lord God with all of my heart. And he is the first in my life. And I'm the only one that I can speak for. But I pray that each one of you all that walk as a child of God is the same way. That he is first in your life. Above everyone and everything. Get your priorities straight. And you'll grow more each and every day. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for the word, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for these times that we can come together each day and be into your word and to share them with others, Father. And we know that they are others that are listening, Father, because, Father, we know you help us to reach out to them to bring the help that is needed. Father, for those that are walking in sickness, may they receive that healing that comes, that has been given to them by the stripes that the Lord Jesus Christ bore upon his body. That healing he gave over 2,000 years ago. Now, Father, help us all to walk in righteousness. Don't let us stumble. In Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for. We pray for them to have peace. But even above that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. Father, this land of ours that not only turned its back and walked away, but brought so much evil upon its own people, took the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in, not even wanting the Ten Commandments posted, Father, in any public building or on any public lawn. Help us, Father, to come together. And Father, help us to be able to have Christian leadership in our government and in our churches. And all according to thy word. Now watch over us, Father, as we separate this evening. Keep us through the night in health and safety. Bring us back together again come morning, Father, and back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Father, we love you. We love the Lord Jesus. We love the Holy Spirit. We give you praise, Father. Praise you for the things that you've done for us. And we give you thanks, Father, Thanks for everything that we have. And we do this, Father, in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, all. Have a great night. Walk with Jesus. He'll walk with you. Have a happy evening, a great night, and I pray to see you come morning. Good evening, all.